everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
I'm Dane, the Rizmarole head.
He'll get it. He'll pick up. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing. No. Yeah, playing role-playing
games. What do we
do? Where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. I'm usually off book on the intro card, and then sometimes not. But, it's been long enough. I should be all the time. What's up tonight? What are we doing?
Well, we are going to be talking about... I don't know why I'm doing that accent. We're going to be talking about charisma rolls. Are they necessary? What even is a role, mm-hmm. and how do they fit into role playing?
We don't have an outline you mentioned, but I actually did want to bring something up just for myself.
Changing on the fly here.
I just wanted to have something to reference because I wanted to bring up what...
You are not in the document, my brother.
No, I'm not. I'm over here.
Oh. Well, I know you're over there.
So, okay. This idea has kind of just been, like, floating around. Sometimes, and sometimes we have, like, allowed unfortunate or, like, we've allowed rulings that we maybe shouldn't have where a presence or charisma stat rolls on that stat were... you know, maybe too powerful in a situation, but also, I guess, well, you're the one bringing this. So yeah. my position is that, some sort of personality value is kind of important because it allows you to roll, you describe kind of what someone's going to say or like how they do something.
Let's break it down first.
Okay.
A charisma role, mm-hmm. or a personality role, right? Most games have some sort of attribute
associated
with that. Personality, right? Which makes sense. You have stats for how strong you hit, mm-hmm. how fast you are, how tough you are, how friendly you are, right? Makes sense. I don't know where I got, like... the spark for this episode came from something I had seen, some other podcast or YouTube video or article, and I didn't write it down, and it's been like a long time since I had this idea. So it's lost.
Okay.
But it just got me thinking, right? So the stat, having a stat means you're going to use it for rolling, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to be talking about. Now, I believe you had another thing you wanted to take a stand on. Or was it just you think there needs to be a personality?
In general, I'll come out with my opening statements before we get into it. And we're not necessarily opposed in this, but... I started thinking about this most seriously when we played Mothership last year. And I was like, well, it is interesting, mm-hmm. that is the thing that they just, like, omit entirely.
Yes.
Right? You do not have any sort of charisma or personality
traits,
number
perks,
attached anything. To your character.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't roll on that. You role play that. And the Game Master is meant to just... fold in how you like, you know, if you're acting and doing a voice or if you're just describing what your character does and how they say it, your Game Master is meant to like fold that into the situation and make the call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's bad. It puts some additional onus on the Game Master where they can't be like, well, give me a roll to see if you're convincing or not, whatever. I thought it was interesting when we played Mothership, that is the one that they left off.
Mm-hmm.
And they created four very simple, kind of like all-encompassing stats. They did a thing which I like, where they made combat its own separate thing, separate from your, like, you know, your physicality or your quickness or whatever. There is a separate area of your character sheet for how you perform in combat. I like that. I thought it was weird that it omitted any sort of charisma or personality, but then I got to thinking that, like, that is kind of the one that most other games, like indie games, that's kind of the one that they drop. I just pulled up Morkborg to check, because that's a fantasy one. We have Cyborg. So Morkborg does strength, agility, presence, and toughness. Presence is kind of how I imagine. That's interesting. They keep a presence, and they drop any sort of, like, intelligence or wits.
Oh. We're not talking about those other things.
No.
Right?
I'm talking still just, but like, it does seem like indie games will drop the charisma one.
So here's
or they'll
my
roll it into all mental stuff, like a willpower stat, and that will be how smart you are, your force of will, and your personality all rolled into a single number. I've seen that as well.
Here's my thoughts on why we even have personality stats in the first place. Back when this whole little thing started. 100 million years ago. Too far back, I know. It all goes back to D&D, right? Yeah. It always does. The, like, way that D&D, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, one, was played, very different than today, right? Mm-hmm. There was no fucking role-playing. It was just going through dungeons.
Yeah.
Right, there was no stopping in town, risen up the bartender or the merchants to get a good deal, or, like, you know, all that intrigue stuff. And again, I wasn't really, well, definitely wasn't alive in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But we weren't fucking with that back then. And even when we were kids, we weren't fucking with D&D. The way, I mean, I believe it was, what, 30 when we were children? Or was it second?
It was third edition. And then fourth edition came out, like, right around the time World of Warcraft happened, which was much more our social group computer games.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so having, like, a charisma stat and then, like, basing certain spells and, like, spellcasters basing how they cast, like, you know, the warlock or not the warlock. Yeah.
Yeah. Warlock is charisma. Mm-hmm. Charisma spell casting.
Right. So, like, I understand that, and, like, putting a charisma attribute and then, like, building off of that to make a different character.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I understand that. And I think it worked. But now the game has changed. And there's no longer a necessity for that because of just the prevalence of role-playing and game masters and homebrew stuff. And, like, everybody's making their own rules. Everybody's making their own hacks.
Mm.
And so what it plays as most time, and mostly maybe it's just the games that we run and the systems that we use, which we created, The charisma stat is used to bully the game master.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. So, like, your dexterity or your agility stat becomes, like, the super stat for action, mm-hmm. right? Unless you're a melee character, but even if you're a melee character, you know, your dexterity, it, you know, it affects
a lot, almost everything.
And in different games, it plays differently, and oftentimes, yeah, the, you know, dexterity and strength, they become your super stats, the ones that, you know, make you good at doing dungeon, right? And then, yeah, charisma, a lot of people dump it unless they want to do charisma stuff, and then, yeah, they use it as a button to get past
obstacles,
to get through story stuff,
yeah,
under this presumption that, like, if you roll well on your charisma stat, you are, you know, by the force of your personality overcoming something and game masters sometimes find themselves in a situation where they allowed a roll, and then they're like, oh shit, well, you passed that, so what does that mean? And the player often expects, you know, the successful roll to mean that they just get what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I lied to the guy, and now we're walking in. But, like, if you, you know, paused and zoomed out a little bit, just conceptually in the situation, like, maybe there's no such thing as a good enough lie, right, or a charming, yeah, enough face to, like, have the guard let you in to the king's chambers.
Right, like, sometimes you can't gaslight girl boss and
gatekeep
your way in or out of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it only works when enemies and NPCs all have, you know, a charisma stat or, like, you know, some sort of difficulty that you're rolling, which complicates the game, I think, unnecessarily, which is, like, why it makes sense that Mothership dropped it. Mothership, the way they do enemies, is really cool, I think, and they're very interesting enemies. And they said, we ain't, like, most of these are weird, gross void creatures.
Yeah.
They ain't got charismas. Like, you can't talk your way into sleeping with one of them.
Yeah. Well, and that also, like, that meme of, you know, the charisma-heavy bard who seduces his way through the campaign is not something that we've exactly experienced, but we have experienced, you know, characters who, like, think that if they get, or players who think that if their character rolls well on whatever the personality... Mm-hmm. attribute is. And we play a lot of different games, and most of them we make up ourselves, and we very rarely play D&D. Not for years. But for just ease of language, the charisma stat. They expect to be able to, like, kind of rewrite the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, revise the encounter when... You know, so yeah, right, I get where you're coming from.
And if we look at what, like, a role even is, and, you know, this is something that we talk a lot about on this show, and we always kind of circle the same thing that, like, roles should be. Wasn't Mothership that I explained it really well? But, like, you know, there's got to be an uncertainty of success. Something is going to happen, fail or succeed, something interesting needs to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, the players, and there's a time aspect, right? Like, imagine you're trying to get through a door in a dungeon, say,
mm-hmm,
right? With unlimited time and tools, you can get through that door.
Yeah, there is no roll. There's nothing.
There's no need to roll for that.
The only thing is just, like, you know, you assess how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a roll if this factors into your game system at all that, like, you know, you're going to get through it, right? But maybe you break your pickaxe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does all of your tools survive or whatever? Is a depletion of resources is maybe attached to it. Maybe it takes, you know, 2 8-hour shifts to get through. So mm-hmm. assess that on your rations and your torches.
Sure, right. Yeah. Right. And that's all dependent on what game you're running.
What kind of game you're playing.
Etc. Right.
But if a thing is, you know, foregone, if the only obstacle to accomplishing something is just how long it's going to take you, then, mm-hmm. you know, you fast forward through that and you
right.
don't
or
have
like
to roll.
What happens if you don't get through that door? You're stuck?
You keep going. You try again
right.
until it works.
So
then
there's no roll.
Yeah, then that's good game master advice to not put a roll there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So take that example. A door.
Mm-hmm.
Change the door into an NPC.
Okay.
Right? They have a bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When the player says, oh, well, I asked them slyly, or whatever. They're just like, I asked them about the information. Here's my charisma roll.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like it's the door thing where they have the tools because it's talking and communication, right? So unless there's some weird scenario, which mm-hmm. absolutely could be, like maybe you're trying to do it over the radio and like it's staticky. And so like the role is to make the radio work, not a charisma role.
Right.
still a role for that conversation. But so I get that there's weird situations out there, but they usually have the tools to communicate, and there's probably no time pressure, because if it's like a townsperson, if there's time pressure, that's weird. Like, oh, the monster's running down the street at us. Quick, tell me where the gold's hidden. That NPC is running away. There's a monster coming at you down the street. That player, you know, that NPC, no matter how good your charisma is, that NPC is probably running away. So time pressure, not really a thing. And like, what happens when you fail? Oh, the person doesn't tell you. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's good enough reason for a role.
I think it's a little different from the door thing, though. Because, like, it does shut off. Like, it shuts off a possibility. And that's part of why I still kind of like the idea of a role. I'm thinking ahead of something else I want to do completely separate.
What, like another episode?
Or yeah, but something? we'd have to do some design work first.
What's the idea?
I'm imagining cutting the two, because, okay, so the last time we talked about designing our new version of Afterlife on the show.
Oh, okay, so this is a design idea.
It's a design idea that maybe is a good episode if we can do a good idea out of it. And here's the thing. I'm sure multiple someones have tried to do this before. We could maybe find something to steal, but it would have to be designed to work for our game system. So the last time we talked about our new version of Afterlife, personality was broken up into two things. Charisma. We don't have charisma anymore. We don't have presence. We have a personality category with two attributes under it, scary or friendly. Now, when we initially wrote that, I really liked it, and I still kind of like it. And we'll probably keep it for at least one iteration. But my idea now is to cut them entirely. Because of which I'm following your line of reasoning here. To cut attributes associated with personality completely out, and instead a one-page flowchart of, you know, what is, because of like, you know, you're starting here and you want something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why if it was just a conversation, you wouldn't need roles, and you also wouldn't need this chart that I'm imagining, right? Or any sort of like sliders about their attitude towards you or whatever. If it was just a role-playing conversation for fun, you don't need to touch it.
What about would interrogation serve for this flowchart purposes, right? So,
Okay,
example is the party is interrogating an enemy soldier. The party needs to get into the enemy base.
Right.
They got a soldier.
And they've got a captive.
Yeah.
That would need to be one of the things on the flowchart. Because at a certain point, early on, if you're trying to get something out of the guy and he doesn't want to give it to you, he leaves the situation.
Right?
So
we tie him up.
Okay, now that needs to loop back into it. So now the flowchart has from, you know, like he leaves the situation, or, you know, he doesn't want to give you the information. Mm-hmm. You keep pressing, he leaves. There is a loop on that where he can't leave back into, you know, the interrogation.
He doesn't
want
to give us any information. Yeah.
So now you've locked off a path on the flowchart, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then the game master, you know, goes down the... goes down this chart that probably branches from, like, you know, two things at the top to, like, three or four things to, like, five or six things, and then comes back down to you either, like, get what you need, or he lies to you, or you kill him, or whatever. The handful of extreme...
Outcomes.
With some, like, paths that bypass some of the more extreme things. Like, you know, if you were to torture an NPC, well, is he going to... And then the Game Master... And all of this, I think, is Game Master focused. Mm-hmm. Like, you're asking the players, what do you do next?
Right.
And then, okay, following the flowchart. Mm-hmm. And that will lead you to... They either get what they want or they don't. Maybe. I don't know how much time I want to spend on this in
well,
this
I think
episode
it's important because this also,
design-wise, yeah. we'd have to design it
well, see,
before we
I mean,
can really talk about it.
This is, I think that's a perfect example of what I was going to suggest at some point in this episode, so I'm doing it now. You still need a thing for that, like for an interrogation. The situation or the story, the campaign, whatever, has led to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Usually handled by charisma rolls like intimidation or deception, persuasion, maybe there's some magic involved, whatever.
And that's always been my problem with it, is usually it's one stat. And the first thing I pulled up, charisma, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually charisma. But the way D&D breaks that up is there's the six, you know, core attributes, charisma being the one we're talking about. And there are four skills underneath charisma.
Yep.
Deception, intimidation, performance, and persuasion. And the reason I don't like that is because they're all parent to charisma, which means good charisma makes you good
at all of
all
those things.
Those, right. Which is why I liked friendly versus scary as ours.
Right.
And separating them. Mm-hmm. So you're like, well, is it a friendly role or a scary role?
Right.
And we'll come back to this at some point, but if not the flowchart, then the thing I'm leaning towards is actually adding two more to personality. But we'll come back.
Here's back to the example. You need something there, right? Like, how are players going to use their character stats in this made-up world to affect the outcome, right? In that scenario, make a flow chart. Steal something else from somebody, because somebody probably else has like written up a whole module about how interrogations work with difficulties and roles. All you got to do is copy your rules like into the blanks, right? So I think that is what I am leaning towards, is charisma stats unnecessary. Something still needs to exist. And when those specific situations arise, gamify it so it works like for that situation, for that system, but it isn't something that players can abuse. And like, you know, obviously if you have nice, kind players, this isn't really a problem.
That I think has been the problem is, so like, and it's not malice.
Mm-hmm.
When players use this to upend the game, they are, one, it's a natural like instinct, and you see it all the time in video games, that players will like optimize the fun out of a video game for the sake of optimization.
Mm-hmm.
They will, it's just like a funny thing that human brains do. They optimize systems.
Yeah.
At least like from their perception. And then another human can look at it from the outside and be like, this is stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Well, it's not serving you. It's serving whoever optimized that system.
Right.
Players just naturally try to do that. And a lot of times I don't think they know they're doing it, or they're certainly not doing it on purpose to bother you. Sorry, my machine's not plugged in. Fixed
it. Gotta plug it in. Otherwise...
Yeah, we lose this episode.
Otherwise, we lose the episode and never make another one. And I think it's not like, if it's not coming from a place of malice, which usually isn't, and like nobody's getting hurt, you know, what's the harm in it? I think the harm comes from like upending the table, desyncing the drift, right? We talk a lot about the drift on this show.
Because if everyone's...
Drink to the drift.
Pacific
Rim. We gotta get a soundboard.
Yeah. At least, like, one button. The Pacific Rim sting. There's a combat encounter, right? And one character thinks that, like, well, all I need to do is just, like, trick this guy. Or I'm gonna, like, talk my way through. But everyone else is expecting to, like, fight through this. If by that first round, you know, like, swords are flying or, you know, gunshots happening, then... like, you're not talking your way out of it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe at the core of this, the problem is, like, our permissiveness in certain situations.
Yeah, and just the ridiculous shit that comes out of players' mouths. Because, like, even in that example, my fucking brain went, actually, I see a cool way after the bullets start flying to use your charisma in advantage, right? Like, think about Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, one of the scenes in Saving Private Ryan where, like, they're in a big fight in town. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, the guy walks up the stairs.
There's a wild couple of charisma-y scenes mm-hmm. there with the German soldier who kills his way out
mm-hmm.
and then leaves the guy because he's like, well, you're a pussy. I'm not going to... You have shown mm-hmm. me that I don't need to mess with you.
Right.
And...
Right, so bullets start flying in this, you know, role-playing encounter. And the squishy charisma guy jumps behind, like a ruined wall in this, you know, fantasy forest, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck, there's a bandit there, right? Ooh, like, I'm going to do a deception and, like, put my hands up, and then I'm going to kick him in the nuts,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, give me a charisma roll. Oh, that works. You kick the bandit in the nuts. The bandit, you know, falls down, and you don't get stabbed.
Yeah.
And you run away. Right? Boom.
Okay.
A way to use charisma.
Sure.
Except for that shit doesn't come out of your player's mouth.
Right.
What comes out of their player's mouth is, shoot your friend.
Yeah. Or something like that. The other thing, I guess, and this is more... Okay. Let me cement, I guess, my position. I don't think there's actually anything inherently wrong with even, like, you know, and I know we don't like D&D very much, but I think those six attributes, they do a pretty decent job capturing a guy, mm-hmm. you know, capturing the various things that describe a guy or a gal or mm-hmm. a they, whoever, a somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And charisma is a good one in there, because it is different from being smart, right? It's also different from being strong or mm-hmm. fast. Personality, force of personality. The primary problem I see with that is just, we'll come back to this. The skills underneath it, and, like, the attribute buffing all skills instead of separating them. The existence of that stat, though, what I think happens is human beings, players, not characters, players who are naturally kind of, like, charismatic and gregarious and like, big personality and outgoing, they have probably, without thinking about it, gotten through a lot of things in their life on the merit of that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And... I don't usually think of myself that way, but I know I've done it sometimes. I've just, like, been able to accomplish things because people like me
mm-hmm.
in certain situations. Like, at work a lot. I get a lot of benefit of the doubt because of just, like, the way I'm perceived at work.
Same.
And not because I'm doing anything necessarily on purpose, this is why I think it's a problem. Because people don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens. And then when a, you know... naturally successful and likable, gregarious person brings that into the role-playing space, they suddenly see that, like, gamified, maybe for the first time ever, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is how I solve everything. And the problem is that the situations you're dealing with are, you know, fictional and fantastical, and there is no way, like... Who do you think in the Fellowship has the highest charisma value, right?
Well, see, that's a tough one because is it like D&D charisma? Because then you gotta
saying D&D charisma.
You know, you gotta take into all those account or all those things. I think,
or a different role playing game if you got. But, like, who's got the best?
I think if we're talking book
stat,
if we're talking books.
Yeah, let's talk book or movie, I guess, because movie is.
Well, I think it's different. My answer is different.
Yeah, I would say it's a different
answer. In the books,
as well.
I think it's Aragorn. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Like, people are just like, he can turn it on and turn it off and be like, I'm a shitty, you know, woodsman.
Yeah.
But then also I'm a king. So like, and then they're like, oh, you're a king now.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
There's no version of the fight at Balin's tomb where he, you know, charisma rolls his way out of that having fight. To sword fight.
Yeah.
Right? There's even in, you know, there's a moment in the book where one of them, I forget who is it, but like goes up to the door, and when they're like, oh shit, there's a bunch of goblins out there and it looks like they maybe have a troll. Fuck. Don't jam all the doors. We need a way to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Where someone says something, you know, yells at them to like not disturb the rest, you know, classic, like medieval form, the you know, chivalric before you're going to fight, you got to go through these, you know, little word rituals. And Aragorn does the same thing at Helm's Deep, where he, like, puts his hand up and he's like, hey, hang on, and tries to, like, yell at the Uruk-hai. And they just yell at him and start shooting. After, you know, they let him say his piece, which, if you look at, like, what's written and what he says and how he's like, well, you know, we're the righteous defenders of this place, and the Hornburg's never fallen while men defend it. And they're like, we don't care. We're the fighting Uruk-hai. We fucking eat people like you.
We'll fuck you up.
We chop you up and we eat you. And we're here for that. That's why we're here. So, like, pretty, like, I would have given him advantage on that charisma roll for saying something cool. Doesn't matter.
You can add 20.
You're not
going to
stop the army from.
Right. Oh! Good point. Bye.
Yeah. So I think that's the problem. There is a misconception. There's a misconception on the part of a lot of players, whether they recognize it or not, that that should be how charisma rolls work. And then there is a what I think is just like in general, like it's good advice for a baby game master. Brand new, first game, trying to get your friends into it, to not say no, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be the guy who tells your friends no when they have an idea.
Yeah.
And I think it's good advice because it encourages people to, like, dip their toes and then actually, like, get into the hobby. But then it becomes bad advice because the better advice is some stuff you should say no to because of all the other stuff we've talked about in a lot of prior episodes about, like, the drift, the, you know, the shared perception that you want to have, and you don't want to have one character with a wildly different idea of what this is overriding it for everybody else, as well as, you know, stuff like tone, and, you know, we talked about that in the last episode or two episodes ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Players have a misapprehension about how charisma can be used, and game masters have been taught
to roll with it,
to yes and everything, when they should know, but. Especially, you know, in the case of,
especially when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
and
they should know, but or straight up no, and that's the thing. Like a lot of people don't get that game master advice.
And I think the straight up no comes before the roll, where it's like, oh, can I do a charisma roll for this? No,
you're like, no, there is no version of this roll that would. Like, you could roll that dice, it doesn't matter. They're not interested in your personality in this situation.
Yeah. I do want to go back just a second, because I think that is an important thing about, like, you know, the baby game master advice. Another great thing that charisma stats do when they're there is open the door up for new players to try different things, and, like, I don't know what to say in this moment because... you know, bad at improv. Like, this is, you know, my first campaign.
That's the main reason I think they are very important, because they accurately help describe who a character is, and they allow you to do so stuff, like, without acting it out.
I want to tell this creepy person in the forest a story that, I don't know, so they don't hurt us. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever the situation is. But I don't know what that story is. My character's going to give it their best shot.
Yeah.
And I'm not good enough, or I don't want to right now, come up with a, you know, 5-minute monologue. So I'm going
to
roll on the dice.
To even improv a sentence sometimes. It's like,
tough.
You know, we, Well, one, like, I'm sure I've talked about this before. You know, when we were in high school, like, skits and stuff, it made me hugely uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Performing for other people. I didn't come to this hobby from, like, theater.
Fucking theater kids. We love theater kids. Well, they're very hot.
Don't really know very many.
I know a lot parasocially.
But, yeah, it's certainly not how I came to this. Mm-hmm. And I came to this more from, like, a just, you know, liking cool adventure fantasy concept. Adventure. Fantasy and sci-fi and being like, well, I want to do some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took me a while to feel good enough and comfortable mm-hmm. enough to, like, do a voice or to, you know, to do the other things that you do to, like, embody a character. And good, like, YouTube and podcast people, and we're going to do it right now, will tell you, like, that doesn't make you good at it. Doing a voice,
mm-hmm.
that's surface level. You have to also do the other stuff. You have to actually, like, you know, think in the shoes of your character and make decisions in character, as opposed to just, like, I do a funny voice and then I, you know, always press the funny button.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if, you know, you're playing Fallout 4 on easy and your gimmick is just, like, you always blow everything up or whatever.
Right, yeah.
That's, especially in, like, a shared, maybe that's fine. That's, you know, I wouldn't ever say that's really, like, terrific role-playing. Mm-hmm. But in a video game, it's fine. In a shared, you know, gaming narrative experience, that's terrible. It you know, it takes some getting used to, which is why, circling mm-hmm. back, getting back on point, I believe quite strongly that the some sort of numerical value tied to a character's personality is pretty important. I think, and I don't know if this is, like, put it on the board, but I think mm-hmm. I'm really cementing my position here, is that I don't think that characters should be able to, like, initiate roles in it, maybe. And let me talk this through. Say, you know, you have your charisma in 5e.
Okay. Right?
And there's the four skills underneath it. Sure. Deception, intimidation, performance, and persuasion. I have some issue with those four. I think four is the right number, but I think they're wrong. I don't think you should be able to actively do any of those. I think, you know, you can describe how your characters act,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to make you save on those.
Mm-hmm.
If I decide it's appropriate.
Right.
As the game master. I'm the game master.
Right. And it's like,
I'm the game master.
So I agree. I think that the game masters in general should be a little more stingy with when a charisma role is called for.
Yeah, is allowed.
Right? So, the best example is for new players or, you know, players uncomfortable or players who just, like, you know, maybe it's a weeknight and they had a hell of a day.
Yeah.
And, like, I just don't feel like doing a monologue right now. Like, I don't have it in me.
I'm here to chop some orcs, but, you know, we got to talk to this guy first.
But, like, and, like, my character dances around, makes a fool of himself at the market to distract the shopkeep while, you know, my buddies steal his shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm just going to describe. I'm not going to, you know, pantomime it. I'm not going to, like, get into exactly what he does. Roll for it.
Yeah.
Okay? Or what is it? Or, you know, what is it? Oh, it's performance game master? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Then,
I think it's like, you know, describe the action. Mm-hmm. Game master asks a clarifying question. What are you trying to accomplish with this? And this is a question not at the character, it's a question at the player.
Right.
You know, okay, you've described them behaving in a certain way. What is the you know,
mm-hmm.
the thing that you are hoping to accomplish with this? And like, okay, great. Now give me the role. Because when I've asked that clarifying question, you've answered, like, oh, create a distraction at the market.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know it's performance now. And, you know, players who understand the rules of the game system will
be doing that.
They'll
anyways,
start to
probably.
Intuit that stuff and be like, yeah. Can I do a performance?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think, in general, game masters are permissive about that. And if someone's like, oh, can I, you know, instead of attacking, can I, like, trick this guy into thinking he wants to jump off this edge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, honestly, no. Like, what would that be? How would you possibly... Unless you're, like, using magic and affecting his brain somehow,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any way you could performance or convince or intimidate this guy into right. doing that.
And I think that's why Mothership works, and granted, we didn't, you know, get into many NPC interactions.
We didn't really push Mothership.
Yeah. I mean, we was just a... It was,
we ran the...
It was a one-shot.
We ran the starter.
It was a big one-shot. The... But to, like... And how Mothership explains it in the book, I think, is really good, and why I started thinking about this and why whatever it was that caught my eye, right? Because I know it was after Mothership.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking about Mothership and, like, cool thing that we haven't really fucked with. They just said, you know what? NPC interactions, it's like regular life. So, like, if you call somebody a name, they're probably going to get mad at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what that is it follows, like, regular human interaction. And I guess maybe there should be an asterisk, whatever, on all of this. I get it. It's a fantasy. And if you want to do the fantasy of, like, I have really good charisma so I can, you know, gaslight, gatekeep, and girl boss my way out of anything, great, fine. But if you're like, yeah, my players are kind of pushing the envelope, it breaks the drift, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
This is for you then. The, like, basic rules of human interaction, and then also, another asterisk, what about elves and humans and all that shit? Same thing, right? NPC and character interactions, who are, like, regular people in these worlds, you should follow similar rules where you can come off as really weird by just, like, saying something a little off.
This is an aside, but you just said something that, so a more interesting way to differentiate, like, different species, like elves and humans and dwarves, or, you know, if you're doing a sci-fi, you know, Klingons and humans. A more interesting than, like, oh, dwarves, you know, dwarven toughness, they get a little HP buff, resistance to poison, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fine. Not saying get rid of that, but a more interesting thing would be, like, some cultural stuff, and that's tricky. It's tricky to write, but not even cultural, but, like, language and development and, like, social, like, sociology differences where, you know, like, dwarves, I don't know, like, you're gonna bump them from neutral to hostile if you don't. And the problem is, this is all narrative, but it could be gamified that, like, you know, if you don't, like, take the time to stop and do a proper greeting, then, like, the dwarf NPC will go from neutral towards you to, like, borderline hostile. Not like hit you with a sword hostile, but, like, they will not deal with you type of thing.
But yeah, and I mean, that's where this conversation that, or not conversation, but this line of thinking that we're on currently about, you know, following basic rules for human interaction, that's where this ends up, is the game master has a lot more shit to worry and think about, and, like, has to really design their NPCs, and maybe not every single individual one, but, like, groups of NPCs, like, you know, merchants, how do they respond in this world to, like, haggling? Is haggling allowed? Like, are they going to kick you out of their shop if you start to haggle? You know, that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now the game master has to think of that, right? Because there's no rules to fall back on. There's no gamification to make it easy and fall back on it.
Yeah.
You constantly have to be thinking about that, and then, like, you know, switching between NPCs and, like, remembering, it's like, oh, wait, this guy kind of hates your party because, like, you bought him a drink one time and, like, he thought it was, like, shoving money in it, you know, showing off that you had money, and so he's pissed off at you, but this other guy that you bought a drink at the same time kind of liked it, and, like, they're both named Dan for some fucking reason because I panicked.
Oops.
Because as a game master, I panicked.
I thought I'd already used that name. And, like, oh, Dan again? I'm like, fuck.
right? So, like, I get it. It does, having no gamification stat to fall back on,
mm-hmm.
makes it a bigger lift. But I think it also should be considered because it is already a pretty, marginally, it doesn't really change because the way that the general tabletop games go these days is a much more talky-talky and a lot less grid-by-grid dungeon crawl.
That is, and also with, like, not just D&D. And D&D is a weird game right now, 5th edition, which, like, has all the shit in it to be a dungeon crawler, but that's not how people play it. And so it also has all the, like, it's got a whole third of the rules is a bunch of monsters, but some people, like, play with almost no monsters and all, you know, like, interpersonal politics and story-driven events mm-hmm. with, like, occasionally fights between, you know, mm-hmm. what are essentially, like, other player characters. And then it also says that exploration is a big deal, but it has no, like, good exploration rules or yeah. system for it. Mm-hmm. It says that's, like, a third of the game, but it's not, because it doesn't tell you how to do it. Or it doesn't, like, incentivize or reward or punish you for engaging with it, so it might as well not be a thing. Sorry, I don't know why I got distracted bashing on D&D.
Because it's fun and easy.
It is fun and easy. yeah. Fuck Hasbro, fuck Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys. Fuck Pinkerton, too. That's not a D&D thing, but that's Wizards of the Coast.
Fucking, I didn't know those still existed, to be honest.
I didn't either. Listener, did you know the Pinkertons were still around until a couple years ago when fucking Magic the Gathering sent hired goons to someone's house for a mistake that they made? Not the person in the house. Not the yeah. card game enthusiast.
No.
The fucking game company made a mistake and then sent mercenaries to go shake a guy down. What the fuck? All right, where are we at? What
charisma, personality stats, not having them versus, as hard stats yeah. And like gamified puts more onus on the game master to come up with you know, social shit.
I think all right. We're at about 50 minutes right now. Which is usually when we start wrapping up this episode. Let's have our, we don't have it outlined, but let's have our final bullet point be sort of like a miniature designing with 2HGM. Let's talk about Afterlife, where it is right now, the new
mm-hmm.
one,
mm-hmm.
And where we are with the personality category, scary, friendly.
Okay.
We've talked about a lot of different things here. The main thing that I'm kind of taking away from this is that failures with the application of the personality or charisma stat have mostly been down to us. Like, players will want to do something, you know, but, like, it's up to you to know but them.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've allowed. So I don't want to cut the two personality stats mm-hmm. that we have.
And I think also, let's just say, I think we definitely got off talking about, like, cutting the stats. I think it was the opening when you talked about Mothership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The question...
I know, you didn't come out hot and be like, you should eliminate these completely from all games.
The charisma role, so, like, having stats there...
The stat is important.
I think...
When you are
my big
to
bullet
roll.
Point of the episode yeah. is, I think the roles are much too frequent.
Yeah, and
especially
too permissive.
In our
and
games.
Game masters, unfortunately, because they don't want to say no, they're too permissive with how a charisma role can be used.
Yeah, I think just toning it down and being like, okay, is this, does this fit the requirements of a role?
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, like, what are those stakes? And, like, what is the limitations, right? Like, obviously, you can't just say, I like your shoes. Go jump off that bridge, but I say it really good.
Yeah, I say it so good. I say it nat 20 good, mm-hmm. and then he does. He commits suicide because I liked his shoes.
Yeah.
That doesn't fucking work. That doesn't follow mm-hmm. any, like, any, yeah.
Okay, so back to changes for Afterlife.
So, yeah, there's new edition, scary, new version of Afterlife we have. We have personality. divided into two different attributes, scary and friendly. They are not mirrors of each other in a sense that, like, if you're good at one, you're bad at the other. Mm-hmm. They're not inversions of each other, rather. So you can be good at both of them.
Yeah.
Or you can be okay at one mm-hmm. and bad at the other, or good at the other and okay at one, whatever. My last sort of idea was that I think there's two more in there. And let me just talk all the way through this. Is that friendly and scary? Yes, that's, you know, like charm, intimidation mm-hmm. in a fantasy game. I thought there was two more. One is deception, because I do kind of feel like that is distinct. The passing off of untruths, however. And then the other one was like a negative charisma. And this is an idea we've talked about before and never really successfully gamified. And I don't even have a good name for it yet. But like, this is like, oh, I'm a little weenie. You know, this is like the Saving Private Ryan thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a weenie. I'm a nothing. You know, ignore me. Like, or just to like be so nondescript or to be so lacking mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in presence in a moment that you
easily
that
forgotten.
You get ignored.
Right, yeah.
Right? But in application, one, I see that as a problem now, because that, like, that is the problem that we've had with charisma this whole time. Someone will dump into that, like, obsequiousness mm-hmm. stat. They'll turn that good into, word. Like, you know, they'll turn that into, like, an 80% chance of success, mm-hmm. right? And be like, I do that all the time. I just kind of, like, look away and look small. And then when they're not looking, I cut their head off. Mm-hmm. Or I sneak through the door yeah. or whatever. They'll, like, they will use that as a get-through-everything mm-hmm. card. Also, deception and performance, like, are you lying to someone with your words? Because that could be an intelligence thing. Mm-hmm. Like, how smart are you with your lie? Versus deception as, like, you know, I accidentally on purpose bump into someone in the street and cause a kerfuffle so mm-hmm. that my friends can sneak it. Like, is that performance or deception? So
right.
all this long-windedness is to say that I think we should leave our personality attributes the way they are. I like friendly and scary mm-hmm. because it's about, like, how are you coming at the situation?
Yeah.
Are you, like, is this in goodwill?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this, and maybe scary is the thing that I'm hung
yeah well
on.
I think the words are
because scary is like
intimidation,
right? Friendly I'm okay with. I think mm-hmm. friendly can be left there.
Okay.
But like
the other
yeah,
one
yeah is like, is it friendly or is there like malice behind it?
Could be malice. Yeah,
yeah.
Right, because like, you know, think about the deception thing. Lying is, you can do it in a friendly way,
right? You could be doing it to your mm. best friend because, like, oh, you know. Mm.
Well, that's not what I was thinking of. It's, like, the same person. So, like, I could be lying to them mm. somehow. Like, maybe it's talking to a guard. And they're like, why did you steal the money from the bank?
Yeah.
And you're like, what? I would never.
Yeah.
Come on. Look at me. I would never. Mm-hmm. Right? I think that's a friendly lie.
I think so, too. And right? I also think you can, like, you know, you could just tell straight lies mm. for the purpose of making someone feel better or,
right.
you know.
Here's how you do it in a malicious way.
Yeah.
Guard says, why'd you steal that money from the bank? Me? No, it was that guy.
Yeah.
He's clear. Look,
like,
look,
you're putting
he's walking
it on
down
somebody
the
else. And what we're doing is we're synthesizing the concept of charisma and also the mm. different, like, you know, is right. it deception, performance? It is, we're synthesizing the entire thing down to intent.
Yeah.
And you can be malicious in intent. You can be as malicious as you want. Mm-hmm. And in the new system that we have, which is essentially a roll under system, you can have built your character so that it's almost impossible to fail at a malicious
mm.
action.
Right. And it
that
doesn't
does not mean that you can maliciously get someone to just, like, kill themselves
or their friend
or
yeah, cause
to,
you know,
like to do
harm.
Something that would endanger their mm-hmm. their life or their
yeah.
livelihood or their friends or their family or whatever. Just because you are good at this,
mm.
like, well, they're still going to be like, all right, you have seriously unnerved them, but I think if anything, that would make the character more likely to just try and kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like a balance between what makes sense in the world and like keeps everybody on drift and like player ingenuity and like, you know, ideas. So like let them run with stuff, but like, you know, give them some limits. And I think being upfront about those first is like, you know, oh, well, I'm going to try to personality my way out of this situation. It's like, okay, well, the guards saw you take the stuff, so that's going to be a problem. You're already in handcuffs, so like, they're getting them to do something is harder, right? Because their default is just to do nothing. They're like, let the magistrate sort it out. Like, they've already done their job.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, there's no way that you're going to charisma yourself out of that situation. Mm. Someone else would need to come in and charisma as, like, oh, hey, you know, like, I'm the detective captain, and he's actually an undercover officer. And then you got to, like...
Here's what I would say to that.
Is there actually, needs to be a third heat in that situation before anything could happen.
You can't just be like, oh, it wasn't me, guys. That's not going to work. But what you could say is... I have gold buried outside the city, and I could take you to it if you unlock me.
If you don't arrest me, and depending on, you know, the story that you're playing, the setting...
Right, how corrupt the policemen are, or whatever.
And that's something the Game Master... This is never going to not be the case.
Yeah.
It's going to fall on the Game Master to, you know, a little bit. So I think at the core of this is that, like, you as Game Master, you need to think about the drift and the tone and the setting... that you are running and be like, in this situation, would any would any level of charisma success change this before you allow someone or to ask for a charisma roll?
Right, because it's a lot easier to say, I'm not even going to allow a roll than it is to be like, well, you nat 20'd and I really don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't see how that was going to work. I thought you would fail. Well, shit. You know, then don't give them the opportunity to. No but them. Don't say yes to everything. That's ultimately bad advice the deeper into this hobby you get, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good spot to end it.
As always, you know, we have been Two-Headed Game Master. 2hgm.com is our current home on the internet, but also is, you know, the 2hgm.com, the 2hgm Patreon.
There you go.
That's the thing. One, as a patron, you get access to our Discord. We get to talk about stuff. You get to participate in some of our, like, you know, live play events. Come on episodes, suggest episodes. We just did a world building episode directly in conversation.
Request of our patron.
Because a patron was like, hey, what about this? And we were like, well, we need an episode this week. We'll talk about that. And we're going to be migrating everything to the Patreon soon anyway. There's going to be a
websites
public...
are so 2014.
I mean, I actually really liked the idea of our own website, just you know, nobody uses them and they cost money. So there's going to be a free, like, public Patreon tier that just is our website information. So anything that's like free and downloadable and links to any products that we have out in the world, it's just going to be there eventually. So maybe go check out the Patreon, and while you're there, you know, throw us $2. Doesn't hurt. Maybe not.
It helps, actually.
Yeah, it helps. So yeah, I think that'll about do it. Join us next time for another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. Thank you to the Burning Saviors, as always, for the use of the song Pontillo's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. I think I'm getting sick. I can kind of feel it and hear it. We'll see you next time.
See you at the fight.